Well, good evening to you and Merry Christmas to you. We're so glad that you're here tonight and you're able to celebrate Christmas Eve with us. Tonight, we're going to look at a lot of different scriptures, so we'll have different folks read scripture. We'll get to sing some songs together. And what I would like to do is to start out by reading to you from the book of Luke. We'll be looking a lot at the book of Luke, so if you'd like to turn there, you could turn to Luke chapter 1. You could also find that in the Pew Bible there in front of you if you would like. Luke chapter 1 is on page 855 of the Pew Bible. But Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, says, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that have been taught." This is what the Bible says about a man that by the name of Luke that God used to write the book of Luke. And he's saying here that he took into account what the apostles had shared with him. This is not something he dreamed up. This is not a tradition that we'll go through and read through tonight. These are events that actually took place. So let's think about that as we celebrate Christmas together this evening. Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have to come here and to worship together this evening. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom we have to be here in this nation, to come together in this church. And I thank you for what happened some 2,000 years ago when that little baby was born there in Bethlehem. Help us, Lord, as we worship you this evening. Help us, Lord, as we think about that event. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Our next scripture reading is going to be continuing in the first chapter of Luke, and this is going to be verses 5 through 17. Starting with verse 5. "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when the division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared."
Please stand with us and sing the first Noel.
The first Noel. To certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they
Please remain standing for our scripture reading.
Our next scripture reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and that can be found on page 855 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, and to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am your servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. You may be seated.
Sons and daughters, did you know? Sight to
I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we continue our scripture reading. We are still in the book of Luke, moving to chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, Luke 2, page 857 in your pew Bible. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph, who went from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her first son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn.
Amen. Please remain standing as we sing Silent Night.
As we continue in Luke, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 2, 8 through 20. It's found on page 857 in your pew Bible. Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord this evening.
Amen. Please join us as we sing Joy to the World. Scripture reading.
Our final scripture reading tonight comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 35. That is Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 35. Hear the word of the Lord. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is oppressed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen. Join us as we sing O Holy Night.
O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay
I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. So this evening, we have talked about different passages from the book of Luke. We've read through those different passages. And so I'm going to go to a different passage and just ask you to look at Matthew chapter 2 this evening. I want to ask you a couple of questions, some things to think about. What is it that you are seeking, and what is it that you are worshiping? What are those things that you seek? What are those things that you worship? And you may sit here for a minute and say, well, I'm not quite sure what to say, or you may quickly come back with a response and say, well, I worship the Lord, or I seek this. But the way to know the answer to that is just ask yourself, how do you spend your time? You could do a pie chart and look at the amount of time that you spend on certain things. And what you can see is, you can see how important work is. You can see how important leisure time is. You can examine those things, and then you know, this is what I'm seeking. This is what I actually worship. 2,000 years ago, there were some folks that wanted to worship the Lord. And because of that, they were seeking Him. They were looking at Him. They were looking for Him. You've just read the long version in Luke 1 and Luke 2. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1 or Matthew chapter 2 for a minute and see what the Scripture says. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And he assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men, and he secretly ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. They sent them to Jerusalem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose from before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." You know this passage, don't you? And you know that there's wise men, and you know that there's this guy named Herod, and he's not a good guy. The wise men are good, Herod is bad. But I ask you this morning, or this evening, what do you think about yourself, or what do other people think about you? Has anyone ever called you a wise man, and did they mean it good? You know, maybe they called you a wise guy, or maybe they said you were real smart, but there were these folks that were called wise. And so one of the questions we ask ourselves is, why were they wise? Well, look back at chapter 2, verse 1, and it said that they were from the east, and they came to Jerusalem. So they were wise because they were willing to spend a lot of time seeking out the Lord Jesus. They were spending time looking for him. Now, I almost feel like we should reenact this, and maybe we should bring our bathrobes out, have three guys come up, and some of them have some presents, and reenact coming and looking and searching for Jesus. And that's what we tend to think of when we think about the wise men. But let me tell you, they probably weren't wearing bathrobes. They were probably wearing some very expensive clothing, and they had probably come from a long way away. They were probably people of great means. And so what this means is they stopped everything. They put the brakes on everything in their lives, and they just put a halt to it. And they started going, and they started searching and doing what they could to find the Lord Jesus. So I would say to you this evening, if you're going to be a wise person, that's what you've got to do. You've got to seek Him, and you've got to take the time to stop and to worship Him. Notice back in chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Where is He who was born King of the Jews? For we saw His star when it rose, and we have come to worship Him." And so these wise men were looking for things. They were trying to find things about the Lord. Now they see this star, right? And so are you going to see a star and that's going to point you to God? Well, probably not going to be a star, but it probably would be reading something in His Word, knowing something about His Word and following Him, and perhaps even some particular circumstances coming along. We come along points in our lives, whether it be our family, whether it be the people we work with or the people we go to school with, and immediately we know we need to make a decision or we need to act or do a particular function. God has pointed something out to us. Sometimes we try to ignore it. Sometimes we try to pretend like it's not there. But wise people are looking and asking, where is God working? What is God doing? And what is it that God would have me to do? These guys did that. And so they traveled long and they traveled far. And look at the middle part of verse 2. They said, "Where is He who is born King of the Jews? We saw His star and we rose and we have come to worship Him." This evening I ask you, do you have time to worship the Lord? Do you have time that you read in His Word and you have time where you talk to Him? You have time where you come and you're with His people and we just sang some songs about Him, right? And you listen to Scripture and you think about Him. These guys put their lives on hold because they wanted to worship Him and they realized there was nothing more important in life than that. Not leisure, nothing that was more important than the Lord. And so they sought Him out. Now, these fellows, the wise men, they wanted to seek the Lord and they wanted to worship the Lord. But then you got this bad character. Look at verse 3. "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled." Sometimes there are folks, maybe we're those people. Maybe there are people that are in our lives. When they hear about someone that's made a decision to follow the Lord or they're acting in a certain way that the Lord would have them do, they're troubled by that. They're not pleased by that. They're not happy about that. Herod is just that kind of guy. He's not happy that the Messiah has come, and he's not happy that these wise men are seeking Him. Verse 3 said he was troubled. Verse 4 said he assembled all according to what it was said in the Scripture, he assembled all these people here to look and to examine this situation. Now, what I want you to note is he assembles these priests, he assembles these scribes. Herod does not know enough about the Bible to know where the Messiah is going to be born or anything about that particular event. And I ask you this evening, do you know a bit about the Bible so that if someone loses a loved one or someone has some sort of difficulty that you can take the Bible and you can help them along? Herod didn't even know where the Messiah was coming. And these scribes quote to him a passage in the Old Testament from the book of Malachi. You keep on reading here, and they say in verse 5, "He'll be born in Bethlehem of Judea." That's coming from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. They quoted in verse 6, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So Herod summoned the wise men, and he secretly ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." Do you know people like Herod? Herod found these fellows that were seeking the Lord. And Herod actually wanted to deter them from that. Sometimes there will be spouses. Sometimes there will be parents. Sometimes there will even be siblings or friends or co-workers that see someone trying to follow the Lord and will actually put roadblocks or put things in their way, trying to make it more difficult for them to do that. Here's this shiny thing over here. Go and look at this. Pay more attention to that. Don't be a Herod, and don't listen to the Herods in your life. The wise men were trying to find the Lord, and they listened to this man who should have known, and they pay attention to what he says, but they're probably taking it, as we like to say, with a grain of salt. They're thinking, can we trust this man? Is he telling us the truth? Verse 9 says, they listened to the king, and then they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before them, it came until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And then they went into the house, they saw the mother, they saw Mary, his mother, and they saw the child, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures, and they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So they keep seeking, and there's a scripture that says in the book of Jeremiah, if you seek me, you will find me. That's what they're doing. They're seeking the Lord, they're looking after the Lord, and they find the Lord. They find the Lord and they worship him. They've taken this time out of their lives and they stop and they worship him. And then they take gifts and they give these gifts to the Lord. It's the end of the year, right? And folks begin to give things to the Salvation Army. Sometimes they'll give things to various charities. Sometimes these charities say that people give us all their junk. They just want to write something off. They just want to say, well, I gave something and turned in for tax purposes. Let me tell you, don't give your junk to the Lord. Give him your best. Give him the best of your time. Give him the best of your talent. Give him the best of your income. Give him your best. These folks gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was the best. And those were items that were about to be used as this child will have to flee, and his parents, Jesus, going to have to flee to Egypt. These were useful, but they were also gifts with a purpose. You've probably heard about the symbolism behind these gifts. These people, though, they gave of their best, and that's something you and I want to do as well. Verse 12 says, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. If you're a person that reads the Bible, if you're a person that talks to the Lord, if you're a person that knows the Lord, and therefore the Holy Spirit is within you, He'll let you know something's not quite right about something. This person, something not right there. And you won't actually perhaps see it where the Lord says in a dream, stay away from this person. But you'll see things that don't match up with what a Christian is supposed to do, what the Scripture says a person is supposed to do. And in the situation with Herod, the Lord took care of him and he said, wise man, don't listen to this guy. Go back another way. If you'll listen to the Lord, he'll help you with the Herods that come along in your life. There's a lot of songs, and some of them, I've got to admit, they're kind of cheesy. But there are songs that have been written about this last verse about how the wise men were changed and how they went another way. Maybe some of the songs, maybe a little bit out of date. But I'm going to tell you, these wise men were changed. They were different because they encountered this baby, this Messiah, Jesus Christ, and their lives were never the same. I ask you this evening, on Christmas Eve, I ask you, what is it that you worship? What is it that you seek? I don't ask you to give me a pat answer. I ask you to look at your time. I ask you to look at your thoughts. What do you think of when you're driving to work or you're riding to school? What do you think of when you can't sleep at night? That's what you worship. That's what you seek. And I ask you, are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? The Scripture says if you are, you're going to find Him. And the Scripture says when you find Him, He'll change you. He will make you a different person. Now, He'll not make you a perfect person yet, but He will change the way you interact with your spouse or your parents or your siblings or your coworkers or your classmates. He will change everything about you. He'll turn you into something different. Make sure on this Christmas Eve that you make sure He changes you. Father, we thank You for what we've looked at this evening. We thank You for the passages we've read from the book of Luke. We thank you for this passage we just read here from the book of Matthew, and we thank you, Lord, for what it shows us, for what it teaches us, Lord, about what this season, what this night, what tomorrow is really all about. Help us, Lord, to place our faith in you. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you right there where you're sitting. Would you ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sins? Would you ask him to come into your life? Would you commit to following him until the day you die? You never prayed a prayer like that. Pray it right there where you sit. You could even come to this altar and you could pray it here. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my life. And Lord, I commit to following you until the day I die. Pray that prayer right now. Ask the Lord to come into your life and commit to following him. Father, I trust right now someone may be asking you to change their life. I ask you to take your Holy Spirit, come into their lives, change them, help them understand they're not going to be perfect. We'll not be perfect until we're there with you in heaven. We're going to battle sin day in and day out, but you will go with us. You will help us. You will lead us along the way. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Help us, Lord, to embrace you and to get as close as we possibly can to you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray and we ask these things. Amen. Would you do me a favor? If you made a commitment to the Lord this evening, I'm going to ask you to take one of those connection cards that are in the pew there in front of you or the seat over here on the side in front of you. If you made a commitment this evening, how about filling that out? Give us your name, give us a way to contact you, and tell us the decision you made. Maybe you just have a prayer request you want us to pray about. Indicate that, and we'll be praying about it. Or if there's something that you'd like to have more information about, just indicate that. And I will tell you, if you give us this card with your email address on it, you'll get information every Wednesday about what's happening here at Tippett's Chapel. I want to encourage you to come back tomorrow. We're just going to have one service, 10:30. No classes will be meeting tomorrow, just the 10:30 service. But come and join us and worship with us tomorrow if you can. Let's stand. We're going to sing a song of dismissal. At the end of that song, we'll be dismissed.
Sends the sun.
Amen. You are dismissed.